The Haines Assembly postpones more discussion about the police department, and Skagway's new state representative called some of this session's legislation just plain crazy. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday postponed a discussion about the Haines Police Department until its next meeting. The item appeared as the last item on Tuesday's agenda, a week after the Assembly also discussed the police department at its previous meeting. Last week, the Assembly heard from manager Mark Ernest that he had investigated complaints against Police Chief Gary Lowe from an employee or employees within the department. Chief Lowe also addressed the Assembly, saying a single complaint had been blown out of proportion by the Chilkat Valley News and that overall, his department was fine. Nonetheless, the Assembly asked that the chief and manager work together to develop a plan of improvement for communication and team building within the department and present the plan to the Assembly at its March 26th meeting. But Mayor Stephanie Scott said she had requests from two Assembly members to again discuss the police department at Tuesday's meeting. She said the two Assembly members asked for more information and a written report regarding the complaints and how Ernest addressed them. When the issue came up for discussion, Mayor Scott spoke first, saying Ernest had only just given copies of his written report to the Assembly. She recommended the Assembly postpone discussion until the March 26 meeting, when the group would have time to read the report, as well as see Ernest's evaluation of the chief. Ernest also gave the Assembly copies of a proposal from a consulting group in Soldotna for investigative services and training for the police department. Mayor Scott also suggested any further discussion of the agenda item be done in executive session. But when Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel made a motion to go into executive session, only she and Assemblyman Norm Smith voted for it. Immediately after it failed, Assemblyman Dave Barry made a motion to postpone the discussion until the March 26th meeting. But that rankled Schnabel. She said she was unclear what issue exactly the Assembly was voting to postpone.
I am concerned that there are issues in the police department that need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed sooner than later. And if we continually postpone them, I think that we are asking the staff and the chief and the entire borough, including us as an assembly, to bear a burden that needn't be there if we would take action to correct it.
Assemblyman Steve Vick said while he agreed the matter needs a timely response, he wanted another 2 weeks to make sure the Assembly was following proper procedure in dealing with personnel matters.
I fully understand the importance and the matter and the issues that are at hand. I think the Assembly, we should act with diligence and with following procedure and getting as much information as possible before we meet so that we have an idea of what we're discussing. There's still more information to come. And I think we need to be clear on the procedures. Code says things that we have to do and how we do it.
Smith questioned the proposal from the consulting firm and what the status of the proposal is. He said it was curious that while the manager can spend up to $10,000 without assembly approval, the proposal quote was $9,500. The proposal suggests an independent investigation into personnel matters at the police department and to provide conflict resolution and team building trainings. Ernest said Chief Lowe solicited the proposal from the consulting company and brought it to his attention. Schnabel wanted clarification whether postponing the matter means the manager could decide to go ahead with the consulting proposal for an independent investigation and training for the department, but no clear answer on that question was provided. The Assembly voted 4-2 to postpone the agenda item, with Schnabel and Smith voting against it. Vic then said between now and the March 26 meeting, he would like some clarification on the procedures and processes the Assembly is required to follow in personnel matters.
It's a delicate situation. It's a personnel matter. There's lots of people involved at different levels. And if there's a misstep made by any of them, whether it's the people who are making the complaint or the Assembly members, anyone in between, it can derail a process that needs to go as smooth as possible.
The mayor asked the personnel committee, chaired by Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman, to meet before the next meeting to outline those procedures for the Assembly. Schnabel again commented that she thought any confusion about Assembly procedures in dealing with personnel matters was why the Assembly was having a disagreement in the first place.
I would just like to go on record as saying that I think that part of the reason we are in the quandary that we are in is because we have lacked the display of skills and insights and knowledge to be in a place where we ought to be. We're creating our own quagmire.
After the meeting, Mayor Scott clarified what she hoped the Personnel Committee and Assembly would learn in the next 2 weeks until the issue comes back for discussion.
We need to understand what are the Assembly's limits and authorizations to interact with personnel at the borough, period. They have many more limits than they have authorizations. Actually, the only authorization they have is to terminate or appoint an officer of the borough, period.
The Assembly on Tuesday also approved giving $2,500 to the Southeast Conference for the production of the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Marine Highway documentary produced by 360 North. The group also finalized its comments to submit to the Bureau of Land Management on the Ring of Fire Draft Resource Management Plan. This is Representative Beth Kurtula's first term of representing Skagway and other small communities after redistricting. The minority leader in the Alaska House of Representatives recently used words like absurd and crazy to describe legislation under consideration in the state capitol this year. Representative Kurtula, a Democrat from Juneau, criticized the passage of relaxed cruise ship wastewater requirements, proposed changes to oil taxes, and voucher funding for private education during an address to Petersburg Chamber of Commerce recently. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Thanks to redistricting, Kurtula's new legislative district includes Petersburg, Kuprinoff, and three other small communities, along with a portion of the capital city. She visited here last fall, but Saturday marked her first public speech in the community. Kurtula took time to introduce herself and give an update on the legislative session, now nearly two-thirds complete.
In 15 years, this is the hardest year I've ever seen. Many things we as Alaskans rely on are under attack. From our oil revenues to educating our children, there's a really big attack on some of the fundamental underpinnings of our Alaskan society.
Kurtula is an attorney and is in her eighth term in the Alaska House. She's the minority leader and part of a 10-person minority caucus. She criticized efforts by the Republican governor and legislators to change oil taxes, streamline permitting and decisions for use of state land, and provide public voucher funding for private school education. She also criticized the passage of legislation to relax cruise ship wastewater treatment requirements, an issue she called near and dear to her heart.
I had the first bill introduced because my friends and neighbors worked with me in Juneau and around Southeast to introduce legislation 15 years ago just so we would know, just so we would understand what the ships were dumping in our water. Well, we had a great success. Then we had a citizens' initiative, and it was with my great horror that a bill to roll back our successes went through the House of Representatives in 4 hours. I don't care where you stand on that issue. That's wrong. 4 hours is not enough time to roll back Alaskans' pollution law on cruise ships. Thank you.
Kurtula also spoke against a bullet pipeline project to bring North Slope natural gas to South Central communities, a project she says is undercutting a larger gas pipeline proposed from the North Slope. She also outlined her other priorities for the future.
I think we all want a strong Alaska where our children have good educations, our economy rewards hard work and talent, and we respect one another's individual rights. I think Alaska's future is dependent on three, and then I'm going to add the fourth thing. I think it's education, economy, energy, and to me, the environment.
In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
The Fast Ferry Fairweather is returning to Southeast service a little later than expected. It had been scheduled to make its first 2013 sailing in late February. The schedule now shows its first Juneau to Sitka round trip on March 14th. It will sail from Juneau to Haines and Skagway the following day. Marine Highway General Manager John Falvey says the Fairweather and its sister ship, the Chiniga, needed detailed inspections.
We had actually lost the operating certificates because of questions about the cylinders and the engines and whatnot.
Engines on both ships had shown premature damage. Inspections are conducted by an international risk management firm called DNV.
We provided DNV, Oslo, Norway, with a lot of data regarding the current condition of the cylinders. We did a lot of ultrasound testing, and DNV came to the conclusion that for this season anyhow, that both vessels would be safe to operate, and we're going to go ahead and do so.
Falvey says too many repairs can weaken the lightweight engines. Repair crews have bored out engine cylinders and inserted sleeves to keep them operating.
You need to be very careful that there is still enough metal and steel in those cylinder blocks so that you won't have an accident with a piston potentially coming off the side of the engine. And we're very confident that that will not happen, and DNV is very confident of that, and so am I.
The ship will sail 4 days a week through June, splitting its time between the Juno Sitka run and the Juno Haines Skagway sailing. The state had sued a German manufacturer for defective engines in the fast ferries. The state announced recently a settlement in that case that requires the manufacturers to give each ship a complete set of new engines. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki for help with this report. And thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.